And I'm going to start where I right at the beginning with the only thing I have, and that's today. I've got today, and today I had an hospital appointment at 9 o'clock for something that's been plaguing me for decades. And I had to dig deep on some emotional stuff. And after the appointment, I came straight home, made a big mug of coffee, caramel coffee, and put my pajamas on because I know how to self-soothe in healthier ways than I used to do back in the day. Thank you so much for asking me to share, first of all, because I'm here to stop my gambling and to help other women try do the same. And the fact that I've just come off my home group full of women is a little bit alien anyway, because I were kind of like one of the lads back in the day. And tell lads all my secrets, won't tell women very much. I were a bit of a manipulator. And I'm going to go with 5 minutes strength experience, 5 minutes strength, 5 or 10 minutes hope. And my experience was my family background, both my parents were addicts. My mum was an alcoholic and a gambler. My dad was a gambler. And it was a bit weird because my dad was kind of, let's save this, let's put this away for a rainy day, let's have lots of food in the cupboards, let's treat it as though there's going to be an epidemic and we're never going to eat again. And my mum were just like, YOLO, let's live for today. Get paid, spend it. Get paid, gamble. Get paid, drink. So I were a little bit mixed up in that. So that's my disclaimer of my DNA. It's a little bit twisted. I didn't know which way to turn. But one of the things that I learned how to do very early on was disassociate. I'd disassociate from what was going on in my home. I'd disassociate by getting into books and reading and escaping that way. I was a right bookworm, always off in a dreamland. And there were some things later on when I got to school age, 5 or 6, where I had to disassociate as it was physical abuse. And I had to, just a trigger warning here, that's as far as I'm going to go. But I disassociated and found other things to do. I had three brothers. They were all brought up in a children's home. I had another sister and another three brothers. They were all brought up in a children's home. I was the only child who was kept with the family. That brought about survivor guilt and all that sort of stuff. But one of my best memories, most loving memories, I had the most loving dad, despite his gambling, and controlling. He had my heart, did my dad, as a safe man. I was safe with him. And he had a big, massive newspaper on certain days of year, and he'd sit at the table and we'd pick horses for this race called the Grand National. Now, I was only 4, 5, 6, but I remembered the air, the what was going on in the house. It was all very exciting and everything, and that was comforting for me to be around my dad, but not so comforting as when I grew up and got a bit older. When I was 13, I looked 18. So I was allowed to go into casinos, which I did with my mum at the age of 13. And that was me off and running. That was me. Bet every single day from that day to me being 43, 44. There's a poem called I Am Addiction, and it says, Hell on Earth. And that's what my life was. It was chaotic, it was crazy, it was loud, it was all sorts of things that weren't serene and peaceful. And I got lost in drugs and alcohol. I was later to get into recovery with them before I got into recovery with gambling. But the self-soothing changed from eating or drinking to gambling. That was my way of self-soothing. And I describe it as self-soothing because when I wasn't in action, I was ill at ease. I was still thinking about it. I was still breathing it. I was still planning it. And I'm going to crash out there because that's where it took me to jail. I was locked up for stealing. Insanity. I've been in a psychiatric unit 17, a lot of times, because I could not and would not let go of my dishonesty around gambling, alongside other issues. I've got comorbidity, which is overlapping mental health problems, but the gambling had me by the balls. And I couldn't admit to it. I couldn't let my baby go. Even when I stopped drinking, I couldn't let my baby go. And it got messy, it got dark, it got hell on earth. And after my geographical, I did a geographical, which is where you move to another country. I moved to another country, I moved to Lanzarote, left my family not knowing where all the gold had gone and stuff. And then they found out and knocked me off at family list, and I came back. But before I came back from Lanzarote, I met a man called George who had been around GA for 40 odd years, and he planted the seed. He planted the seed. He told me about the steps. He planted the seed. And I came back to England and I thought, right, I've lost everything. I've lost my family. I've lost my home in Lanzarote. I've lost everything. I am never going to gamble again, especially with what that man's just told me. And I gambled for another 2 years to the point of death nearly and destruction. And when I walked into a GA meeting in 2013, I had to keep saying, my name's Karen and I've gambled today. My name's Karen and I've gambled today. But what I did keep doing was I kept going back to that meeting and several others. I did the 90 meetings in 90 days. And it were all on foot then. So it were like trains and buses and lifting in cars and stuff. And there were a lot of men around. There were about three women in the whole region. And because of my addictive personality, I got into things that I shouldn't have got in or could have done without getting into in my first 6 years of recovery on the ground. And I started with another female, a steps meeting for women. But some men came along, so we had to make it a steps meeting because there were only two women in the region. So we had to have these guys in, and we tried. That meeting ran for a year. We tried because I knew something that a lot of people didn't have the knowledge of, that I could go to as many meetings as I wanted, day in, day out, day in, day out. But if I didn't have the steps in my life, I was going to die. Either by taking my own life or taking someone else's. So that was my experience. So I went to these meetings and I kept saying, I've gambled, I've gambled, I've gambled, I've gambled. And then on the 19th of December 2013, I went into the meeting and I said, my name's Karen, I'm a recovering compulsive gambler, and I haven't bet today. And I stayed clean for 6 years. 6 years. I stayed abstinent because I didn't have a sponsor, I didn't have the steps. So COVID was a blessing in disguise, and I don't mean that disrespectfully to anybody that's lost people. But when Zoom came out, I put it out there, I need a sponsor. I was dying on the inside. And I got a sponsor and we started working the steps of GA. And I alongside that, I was reading some a lot. I was reading a lot of literature, but I was listening to some tapes called the Joe and Charlie tapes from my AA days, and they just cemented in me that I needed good foundations. I needed my one, two, and three in place, my steps one, two, and three in place. And I started praying, and I prayed because I was frightened, not because I was pious. Not because I'm an angel. I prayed because I was frightened. I knew I'm gonna die. I'm gonna take my own life if I don't get a sponsor. I was going crazier and crazier, doing most insane things. And my dad passed away in this time, and he left me a large amount of money, a large amount of money, and it went within 6 months, because without a program in place, I am the same person. It's what is it they say? You can take the alcohol out of a Christmas cake. You've still got a fruit cake. And that was me. That was me. I was still a fruit cake. Because I believe that I had to have a progressive personality change that had to come from within. And the only way I could get this was through a higher power, my sponsor said. And I knew a bit of this anyway. So my fear turned into prayer. And because I prayed enough, those of you that are of a certain age will know that a toilet bowl, a loo, Armitage shanks used to be written on the inside of every toilet in England. And I would be being sick, praying in the toilet to this Armitage shanks God, please help me. I will never do this again if you get me out of this situation. And that's how my life was for decades. So anyway, I've got hold of this sponsor, I'm flying, I'm on the steps, and I got some freedom. I got some freedom from my head and the insanity that was going on in there. So being greedy, I wanted a bit more. So I carried on with the steps. And I think the saving grace that I had was, it said in the big book, there are those two who suffer from grave emotional and mental disorders, but they too can recover if they have the capacity to be honest. And I thought, that were it. That were the chink. That were the glimmer of light. I think I can be honest. And I mean really honest, as long as it's to one other person. I think I can be honest. And my sponsor took the torch and she guided it over the steps for me. And this honesty, I'm learning these different levels of honesty daily, because I'm not finished. I'm a work in progress. I'm learning more about myself and others every single day, a day at a time. And I've learned that this is my strength. My strength is this love, this faith, and this hope, always hope. And sometimes days get darker than other days, but I try keep in mind that I am a female that needs direction and discipline. And my direction and my discipline come from my sheet. I have a sheet that's just got written on in the morning. I read on awakening, steps 1, 2, and 3, 11 prayer, 7 prayer. Just a few things, do my journal, do my sponsor, hand over my day, hand over my day. And that all sounds like it'd carry on for the rest of the day and you'd be fine and dandy. But that's not what happens in my head. Because I can hand over and 20 minutes later, phone will ring and I'll be like, oh my God, yeah, blah, 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 blah. And I'll take off and I'll take the lead and I'll be off and running again with my own version of reality. And it was just said in the women's meeting that we've just had, the home group. I don't go into this head on my own too often because it's like a bad neighbourhood sometimes. And I don't want to get mugged. So I don't go in there on my own. I usually try to take my higher power in. And on things like this as well, sharing, I can get a bit ego driven or whatever. But I've asked my higher power to come in tonight. And if I forget what I'm going to say, I forget. But just for me to be honest. And the honesty is, it says jails, institutions, and death are the things that us gamblers have got to look forward to if we don't get into recovery. I did 2 out of the 3. The jail, want jail, it was being locked up in a police cell. But I went to take my own life because I could not think of a way out of this. And that's dark. That is darker than dark. And when I've got into recovery, for as much darkness, there have been days of pure, brilliant, shining light. There have been moments that I could not have planned that have been orchestrated. My experience, my strength, my hope. My hope is that I continue to try and be honest, because there were areas of my life that I wasn't letting my higher power into for years. For years without really noticing, and it were only when a sponsor came on scene and I had to open up for fear of dying or going insane. Just what I were about, and the steps when it came to steps 1, 2, and 3. Admitting powerlessness over something that had so much power over me. The gambling run through my veins, day in, day out. I lived it, breathed it, wanted it. When the obsession to gamble was lifted, and it was lifted out of me, it was lifted. And as long as I do a few things, it continues to be that way a day at a time. But I have to do the program. I've tried not to, believe me. I've tried having days off. One at Fellas in Fellowship used to say, no tea breaks, no coffee break, no days off. And I thought, oh my God, that sounds like a prison sentence. But when you're in this program and trying to work it to the best of your ability, even the dark days don't last forever. There's always, always a glimmer of something there. Irritable, anxious, discontent. That were my persona. And the women's meeting has just been about who am I? Who am I? And after 12 years in GA, I can't tell you who I am yet, but I can tell you a lot of who I'm not. That comes easier to me to say. I don't wake up and I don't wish that you'll walk into another room so as I can steal your purse. I don't wake up and I don't plan what I'm going to steal today. All that sort of stuff that we're all consuming for decades, decades. The admitting powerlessness and believing that something would keep me off a bet happened. Because it kept me off a bet for one day, and then it turned into two. And then the more I got in touch with it, it turned into three. The four and five, the honesty and the willingness I had to go through with my sponsor to write down. And I had to write down the harms done to others and include myself on that list. I'd harmed myself. So when amends were to be made, I had to make amends to myself, and for me, an amend is to mend a rip, amend, make amend, is to just try not to hurt anyone, because I'm lethal. I am lethal. I've got a wicked tongue. I've got a bad mouth if I get started, and thanks to this program that's reached into other areas of my life, I've got other things that my women know about that are also being looked at. Step 6 and 7, being entirely ready to have these defects of character removed daily. I've got to do it daily because I can say yeah to summer and then 5 minutes later, it's got to be a daily reprieve for me. I can't just think, well, I've had 12 years off and I'll be all right now. I've got to do this daily. 8 and 9, those that I'd harmed, they were off my 4 and 5 list, which I went over with my sponsor. And my 10, 11, and 12 is to maintain my maintenance steps to make sure that I deepen my soul food connection with my higher power. Because sometimes I think my higher power ain't listening to me. So I'll throw my dummy out and shout that little bit louder about what I want. unusual. It's still a no, but it'll show me what I could have instead, and it's always better than what I had planned. So I try not to get into that sort of thinking now. The thing in the big book where it says, rarely have we seen a person fail who has thoroughly followed our path. Rarely. I heard somewhere once on the grapevine, it used to say, never. Never have we seen a person fail who has thoroughly followed our path. Don't know how true that is, but yeah. So that's it from me. I went to hell. Psychiatric institutions nearly took my own life. It gets messy. We all know it gets messy, but there's levels. And if you want to get off now. Get on this program. Get yourself a sponsor that has been through the program, ideally. Take it one day at a time and try be as gentle with yourself as you'd be with your best friend. Because that's my trouble. I can be easy on others and so hard on myself. So thank you for listening. I do hope that's made some sense. I hope it's brought some hope to somebody, and I'll leave it there. Thank you.
Amazing share, Karen. Can't thank you enough. It's amazing. I know that Claire was telling me you're going to be very surprised and very pleased with this share, and she was absolutely right. I'm so glad it's recorded so I can listen to it again when I have the more opportunity and not watching the room too closely. But look at almost 50 people here, well, 45 people that are listening as well. And this doesn't end here. This recording goes into our vault and it'll be used by so many for years to come. And I'm so grateful for you. Thank you so much. Not quite off the hook yet, because we're going to go ahead and go to the next portion of our meeting, which is questions and comments. If you'd like to have a question, this would be a great opportunity for some to ask a question of Karen. Or if you just have a comment for her as well, please just put up your hand and we'll go by order and we'll start there. And we have quite a few already. So thank you again. Let me just take off the controls 1 second here so you'll be able to unmute. And Tracy, you're first, followed by Luca, and then by Tony. So, Tracy, please come on.
Hello, my name's Tracy. I'm a compulsive gambler. I've just got to say, wow, thank you so much, Karen. You are such an inspiration, so kind, and you've really helped me personally. This is someone which I'm gonna say on this meeting. I went through a really dodgy time recently with bereavements and that, and I woke up one morning, there's a card on my mat, and then someone knocked at the door and there's a huge bunch of flowers. You are such an inspiration and so amazing, and you're like the your GA you're like the GA fellowship all in one big ball. You're amazing, and I just wanted to say thank you so much. And thank you, everyone at the LA Daily, for making me feel really comfortable after not being on for quite a while. Thank you.
You're always welcome, Tracy. Everybody's welcome here. I'm so glad you're here today. Thank you for those amazing comments. And thank you very much. We're going to go in with Luca next, Tony, and then Adele will be after that. So, Luca, you're up next, please.
Thanks, Dan. And thanks everyone for being here, and thanks, Karen. I was really moved by one particular part, in the part that say, I went to meeting daily and say I gambled today. Because I couldn't imagine for myself to have the humility necessary to do that. It's probably easy to come and say, I have this many days. Easy. It's never easy, but it requires a lot of courage and humility to come to meeting and say, I gambled today, and still come tomorrow and still say, I gambled today. And I hope if I ever am in such situations that I would be able to do that. And that's an inspiration for me. Thanks.
Thank you, Luca. Tony, you're up next, please.
Thanks, Dan. Thanks, Karen. That was just fantastic. I'll listen to your share again, I'm sure. You said something and it really clicked with me. I'm not sure the person I am, but I'm sure of who I want to be. I'll follow that with a question. And that was hit home to me because that really didn't start until I worked the steps. I discovered someone who I want to be. And that's really helped me a lot because before I just was a whole different person. I didn't really even think I had any character defects. I've shared that on this meeting many times. I didn't think I had any character defects until I went in and searched, and then I found that I'd had a lot. So with that, I'm going to ask, is there any one step you found particularly difficult to work or your hardest step to work? Thanks.
I think step six and seven, the one that separates the men from the boys, they tend to say, because sometimes I could only, I would be thinking that I'd handed over defects, I'd still act out. It was only when, again, I stressed the importance of this, that a sponsor was on board to shine the light and say, well, you've been acting in such a way for quite a while, but still professing that you're working your program, but you wouldn't be getting this pain if you were working this step. So I think to sum it up there, I think six and seven, the one that separates the men from the boys, has been one of the hardest ones. The four and five I found quite cathartic and I wanted to get it done. I am no angel, and the women that have come on tonight from my home group went through a lot of stuff with me just over a year ago, where my abandonment issues meant that I acted out in a not very nice way towards a person. And I laid my hands on them, which I wasn't proud of. The thing that's come about of that is I'm in another program, not a 12-step fellowship, but for people who cannot control their anger. So on the back of me looking at my defects of character, I can, if I'm willing to be honest, grow despite myself. So I hope that answers it a little bit.
Yes,
Thank
thank
you,
you. I've
Luca.
heard that six and seven before from other people also, so thank you.
Thank you.
Adele, you're up next. I'll ask you to unmute. It should be easy. Just
Okay.
push the button. There
Thank
you go.
you. I just want to say, Karen, your honesty, you are so much inspiration. I haven't even started my steps yet. I'm only in 9 months, but you've been massive help to me. You're pure, all your, or I always relate to everything that you say. Honest to God, you've been such an inspiration. Your truth, you shine. So you are the truth, the light, and the way. And I'm so glad that you are on the meeting that I am so blessed to be part of, because you are, to come from where you've come from and to be such a huge part that people can, understand and resonate with you. I just want to say I love you and thank you. Thanks. Thank you.
That's beautiful. Thank you both. And Luke, you're up next by that Essie.
Hi, I'm Luke, compulsive gambler. Thank you for your share. That was great. That was awesome. The part that I'm relating to the most right now is I've been going to meetings, but I'm still gambling. I did two meetings yesterday and then ended up going to the casino. But what I've found right now and what I'm struggling with right now, I last weekend I, took a hit pretty hard, and it's a lot easier to stay away when you're losing and things aren't going well. And the last 2 days I've m made some money, and so that urge is just right there right now. And I didn't even want to do the meeting today, but I know I need to because I'm going to Colorado in a couple of days for the summer, and the closest casino is like an hour, 15 minutes away, and I just don't want it to be part of my life, like the roller coaster. Like, I added up all the numbers. I've gone 40 times since February 14th, and I've won a lot more than I've lost, but the net profit just is not worth all the time and energy, the roller coaster, the stress, the losses. It just, yeah. So I guess that's where I'm at. Just wanted to share. I don't know what it's going to take, because even I'm already making compromises with myself, like, oh, take the money you won from this and put it in a sports book. And, it's just, they feed off each other, sports and blackjack. And I know my life is better with neither, but I do have hope because I had 40 something days earlier this year. And so, yeah, I appreciate what you said, that you just kept coming back, and one day it just turned into, it just, one day we don't, and that's what I'm hoping. So I'm hoping, I don't know. I know that if I go back today, there's a good chance that it's not going to be the winning result. And why even risk it? Just go to Colorado, start fresh, and stay away from the casino. But it's got a hold of me right now. So, but anyways, thank you for your share.
Beautiful. Thank you. Look, I came in and out so many times. I hear you. Eventually, it'll stick. Just keep coming to the meetings. Really appreciate you being here. Okay, we go with Essie next, and then Joe R., Patricia, and then Patsy. Essie, you're first. Welcome, Essie P.
Hi everyone. Let me see this lady. Karen, how you doing, Karen? See, I like to come on meetings when I hear people that have recovery. See, I didn't even hear your whole share. Matter of fact, I didn't hear any of it. But when I come on a meeting and somebody's talking about the steps, I know that they are in recovery. And I just wanted to say that. I'm so grateful to come on a meeting and hear about the steps because that's what changed me. I don't know about anyone else, and people always talk about you have your own recovery. I only have one recovery, and that's the steps. Because if I had a recovery of my own, I'd still be out there gambling and stealing and lying. So I'm grateful to come on a meeting and someone has recovery because they're not talking about gambling. They're not talking about self-centeredness, how selfish they are. They're talking about a solution. And that solution is the 12 steps of recovery. And yes, 6 and 7 was very difficult for me. Well, first step 4 was very difficult for me because I couldn't be honest. And when you do the steps, you got to be earnestly honest. I hear it all the time. People with 30 years and they're not an example of recovery. They're an example of abstinence. But when you start talking about the steps, you are in recovery because you're living them. Thank you. And I got to listen to your talk. I heard enough though, but thank you.
Appreciate you, Essie. Thank you so much. And it will be in a few days up there recorded so we can listen to it again if we need to. Appreciate it. And Joe R. is up next. Joe.
I was just Joe R., gratefully recovering compulsive gambler, protecting my abstinence date of 1/5/2019. I was just sending Dan a message saying, no, I just want to be filler. I want to make sure there are hands up. Let the other people talk. And then I remember this is my recovery and I have to own it. And I have to have my voice in the center of the room. Karen, your lead for me was so perfect. And I hope that I will go back and listen to it. But my life is so full not gambling. I don't know if I will. Certainly, I'd love to get your number to be able to communicate with you on WhatsApp. You said a couple of things. I guess the most important thing for me in your share was you reiterated that you were in process, right? You haven't arrived. You are a woman in recovery. And I love that you spoke about what is healed and what is yet to be healed, because I need to remember that, right? Because I can be so hard on myself when I'm dealing with what is yet to be healed. You said when I wasn't in action, I was ill at ease. And thank you so much to the newcomer who said, it's got a hold of me right now. Because one of the best gifts of this recovery is that it doesn't have a hold on me right now. And yet, I was all over casinos this weekend in Palm Springs. And if I had taken one step towards that door, that hold on me, that choke that it has would be back. That's why I'm in this meeting today. That's why I needed a little extra protection to protect my recovery, because they were all around me this weekend. And God's grace got me not to go in, but it's because of the action I take that protects me on a regular basis. And the other thing that you said was my dishonesty around gambling. I forgot about what a liar, cheat, and thief I was when I'm in the game. So amazing. And I just wanted to say thank you, and I'll keep coming back.
Oh, beautiful. Thank you, Joe. Nice to see you again here. And we move on to Patricia and then Patsy. Patricia, you're up next. Welcome.
Thank you so much for sharing. My question is, the recovery is not easy. There's no cure for this. It's every day that you have to follow steps and tell yourself you're powerless over gambling. This is based on emotional disease. When you're really stressed out and frustrated, we all know that, casino resolve issue really like a babysitter that make you feel better for a short time. How you deal with emotional stress and emotional frustration? Do you have any hobby or passion that take away that kind of stress so you don't go to casino? Thank you.
Thank you for that question. My first, I believe that I learn through repetition. So it's been quite a few days now where I've learned how to get from the head onto the paper into my heart, and that's journaling. I wasn't really, I didn't really put up too much of a fight when my sponsor suggested things because I wanted to live. So when she suggested I started writing these overwhelming, overriding thoughts down, get them on paper, get them out of your head, onto the paper, it'll drop into your heart. I started to do that. And after a few days, it took on a momentum. And now I feel ill at ease if I don't get my stuff out onto paper. So I think for me, I can go around doing hobbies all over the world. I can knit, I can crochet, I can ice skate, I can, well, not ice skate as much now, but all that stuff. But I needed to bring about a personality change from within, not an outside thing that were going to fix me. It had to be an internal job. So that, I think one of my things that I'd say is journaling has become really, really, really important to me. And I hope, I wish everybody peace, happiness, and love. But I wish that for myself, I'll still hold on to the fact that I'm only one bet away from a slip. I'm one bet away from a slip. And I don't live in fear of that bet, but I do live in fear of where it can take me back to. That's what I'm trying to not go back to. So, yeah, journaling would be my thing. I've got other hobbies and stuff that I like to do, but for peace of mind, I can be going crazy in the outside world and think, right, I need to just sit down here with this little piece of paper and this little pen because I ain't got my journal with me, and I'll scrawl it on and I'll send it to my sponsor, or get it out, get it out of my head. So yeah, that's my piece of advice for myself.
Beautiful. Thank you both for that. We go to, oh, Patricia, do you want to say something else?
Mistakes. Thank you for your answer.
That was beautiful. Thank you, Patricia. And Patsy, welcome, Patsy. You're up next, please.
Thank you. Hi, Karen. I just caught the end of your share because I was out and about, and hey, I want some of what you've got. I'm 90 days coming up now after 47 years of running away from what I have inside, and what you said is what I want. I want the cup cleaned out. I want all the shit out. And if you're an example of that, then give me more of that, because that's how I want to be. I want to be who I was made to be, not a walking zombie. And I do want your number, because when you come here to Derry, I would like to go for a coffee with you, Karen. So I'm really sorry I missed all your share, but I will listen to it. And you're awesome. I said, awesome. Thank you.
Thank you, Patsy. Thank you so much. And Joel Z, you're up next, please.
Yeah, hi, I'm Joel Z, compulsive gambler. Haven't gambled since April 18th of 2026. Glad to be here today. I didn't know we were going to have a speaker, so that was awesome. That was really good, Karen. I enjoyed your speak. And I too had 6 years one time under my belt. It's not my first rodeo. And also, my mother was a gambler, so yeah, I know. I know the we happen to get that gene, fortunately. But yeah, it's good to be here today. And I was kind of like, not struggling, but like it says on page 17 on three, don't associate with other gamblers. And unfortunately, my mother-in-law lives with me. She's 92, and every so often, one of her sisters, I mean, not sisters, one of her daughters picks her up to go to the casino here in Bakersfield. They just built a Hard Rock Casino about 6 months ago. And they pick her up and they take her. And then on Sunday, my wife actually took her. So, I mean, it didn't really, she asked me for permission. I said, I don't. What are you asking me for? I go, I don't know. I'm not going to go. So, but, not that it didn't bother me because I don't have the urge to go. And plus, I don't really care for the games over there. I'm like a Texas Hold'em player, so they don't have that yet. But yeah, so I don't know. I'm kind of mixed up about that, what it says on page 17 right now, because I do have somebody that lives with me that likes to go to the casino. Like I said, she's 92. She doesn't have much time left. So I don't know. God bless her. But that's, basically, yeah, what I have to say and for now. And great being here. And yeah, I'll be back for sure. One day at a time. One day at a time.